Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, continuing our study in the book of Hebrews. The two great centerpieces of the book of Hebrews are chapter 4 and chapter 12. And we'll get to chapter 12 later on, but chapter 4, I think, is one of the most important and significant chapters in the book of Hebrews, maybe even in the Bible. By the way, as you're reading through the book of Hebrews, there are 16 times in the book of Hebrews it says, let us. I mean, a sentence is actually begin with let us. And I want to encourage you to look those up. You can look them up online really quick and read those 16 let us's, because they're like a great coach getting up and encouraging his team to do the best that they can possibly do. And every one of those let us's is absolutely amazing. And we have one of those here this morning in our text. But the Hebrews chapter 4, the chapter begins by telling us that there is a place of rest that we can enter into. How many of you could use a little rest? Yeah. There's a place of rest that we can enter into if we believe and we learn to hear and obey the voice of God. It tells us that those Israelites who were rescued from Egypt failed to enter into that rest because they would not trust and obey God. And it warns us that we too might have the same sad experience if we don't learn to trust and obey God. One of the most piercing questions in all of the Bible is when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? And I always look at this. I mean, I can just imagine Jesus looking me in the eye and asking me this question on a personal basis. And of course, I know that if I was asked this question, I would just be like a deer caught in the headlights. It's like, what? I mean, the first thing I'd say is, did you say something? Did I miss it? Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? Do you say something? And I missed it. And there's reasons why we miss it. I'll talk about that here in a minute. He may be my Savior, but unless I obey him, he's really not my Lord. And if we can't learn to obey him as our Lord, we will never reach our true potential and enter into this place of rest that is promised in the Scripture. So this morning, as we delve into the subject of obedience, and by the way, you didn't know I was going to speak on this, so if you want to leave now, it's a good time. So as we delve into the subject of obedience, I want you to first understand that God does not demand obedience because he's an egomaniac. He actually asks us for obedience for our own protection and welfare. It's the same thing with parenting. We ask our kids for obedience for their own welfare. Now, I know some of you have asked them selfishly, obey me because the Lord asks us for obedience for our own welfare. Now, some say it's hard to obey the Lord. Truth be told, life is hard when you do not obey the Lord. That's the reality. That's the absolute truth. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. And when we come to him, this is what happens. So with this backdrop, let's read our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, the people who it was promised to before didn't get it, and so it's still available, that's what he's saying, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. How many of you know it takes faith to obey? Now, if someone's commanding you to eat your ice cream, that doesn't take faith. But there are so many, in God, there are so many times the Lord speaks to us, and it takes faith to do what he's asking us to do. Because so many of his commands actually go against our own will, our own desire, our own human nature, and so forth. It takes faith to obey. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains that for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their unbelief, God again set a certain day, calling it today. We'll get to this in a moment. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let me say that again. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disbelief. Father, this morning we ask you, Lord, to give us understanding. We ask you, Lord, to grace us to lay aside every weight and every preoccupation of mind, to really focus this morning on your word and be transformed by it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Through faith and obedience, we enter into this thing called God's rest. There is a place in God where we can rest. And just to kind of give you an idea of what this is, it's a place where we rest from the futility of self-effort. And self-effort is our default lifestyle. I mean, usually we will try everything imaginable to do it ourselves before we even cry out to God. I mean, we just realize this, hey, I can't do this. And that's where we find God many times, at the end of ourselves. We rest from the futility of self-efforts. We finally realize that we're not going to get there by trying. We're going to get there by entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's going to do the work. And so our efforts then begin to be entering into a relationship with Christ, not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, but we rest in him to do the things that are supposed to be done. We rest from the fears and the anxieties of life. There's a place in God where you can enter into a rest from the fears and the anxieties of life, and we all have those. We rest from the constant war with temptation and human desire. Maybe I'm the only one that has those, but you rest finally from this constant war with yourself. We rest from guilt and shame and condemnation, failure in our life. And so the Bible says, make every effort to enter in. And the simplicity of the matter is, he's really talking about us entering into a deeper relationship with Christ so that Christ can do the things that need to be done. And one of my favorite hymns, which I used to sing all the time when I was a young Christian, is this one here. There is a place. Listen to these words. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. And I remember singing this over and over when I was a young Christian, just realizing that, you know, if I get near to God, I'm going to cease from all of this turmoil that's happening in my life. The price of entering this place of rest is this thing called obedience. And now, obedience is expensive. It will cost you everything. But everyone can afford it because it only costs you everything. You get that? Everyone can afford it. And not only that, it's cheap at the price. It's cheap at the price because the things that we surrender are not good for us anyway. We surrender our will. We surrender our rights. We surrender being Lord of our own lives. And those are not things that are not good for us. We surrender our own way. And when we already know that our own way will get us, will not get us there, or it will mess up our lives entirely. So it's cheap at the price. We surrender those things. Even Jesus wrestled with this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what the issue was. The issue was, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. I mean, he's wrestling with this issue of his will, God's will. And thanks be to God for us that God won that wrestling match. In the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My obedience settles the issue of who is Lord. Deep down, everyone would like to be the Lord of their own lives. Don't look at me so innocent. I'm talking about you. Deep down, everyone would like to be the Lord of their own lives. Until you fully realize how stupid that is. Until you fully realize, I am a lousy Lord. You can say that with me, I'm a lousy Lord. And the beauty of this thing is he's an awesome Lord, a loving God. I mean, he's got all of our best interests in mind. I'm a lousy Lord. The disobedient never experience God's rest. They dwell in the wilderness of hardship and frustration. And that wilderness of hardship and frustration is designed to teach us one thing. And I've spoken on this many times. It's one of my themes. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here, God sums up what he was trying to teach his people in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land. This is the rest he was talking about. The Lord promised you on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Now he was testing us. Are they going to obey me now? No. Are they going to obey me now? How about now? Can you hear me now? I mean, this whole thing in the wilderness. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you one thing. Here it is. To teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Obeying the word of the Lord is life. It's the highway to life. And disobeying the word of the Lord is the highway to disaster, the highway to frustration. Say this with me. The gospel is something to be obeyed. Now, I know you're saying, I wish they had told me that before I signed on. The gospel is something to be obeyed. The first word of the gospel is repent. How rude is that? The kingdom of God is all about a king and his obedient people. A kingdom Christian is a Christian who obeys, and what a rare bird that is. When the great heroes of the faith were mentioned in the Bible or in books, their obedience ranked very high on their list of accomplishments. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. By going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I always marvel at that because, you know, if you're bargaining with someone, they always, well, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you later. That's not good for most of us. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm not going unless you tell me where we're going. But he went out not knowing where he was going. God said, hey, come. I promise you, it'll be good. And he obeyed. For us in America, obedience is not taught much in the church. Most Christians don't think about it very much. And very few of us are really on a quest to hear and obey. And that's unfortunate because that's one of the things that we should have all been encouraging ourselves in all the time. Let's hear from God and let's do what he says. Because the result of that is going to be so unbelievably awesome. And the reason for this, I believe it's because we have no real vision for the incredible blessings that only come to the obedient. And we have no vision for the incredible problems that are caused by our disobedience. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, "If any man is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak from myself." When you're willing to obey, you know. You know his will. And I think that's one of the prerequisites. The other day in our home group, we were discussing why we don't hear from God very often. This is a, you know, big question. The scripture that came to my mind was John chapter 16, verse 12. It says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're just not ready for me to tell you what I want to tell you because you are not ready to do what I tell you." You get that? My conviction is that before we ask God to speak to us, we should prepare our hearts and be ready to do whatever he says. You understand that? Take that to your prayer closet tomorrow morning. Before you ask God, "Oh God, speak to me, God." Say, "If you speak to me, Lord, with all my heart, by all your grace, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do." Be ready to do whatever he says, knowing that his way, no matter how difficult it appears, is the absolute best way. If we're willing to do his will, we will know his will, and we will get inside information. But that's not the best of it. The best of it is John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." He'll just do what I say. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." All of a sudden, this person who has committed to obedience is going to be practicing the presence of God, walking in the presence of God and in the power of God. And this is the whole reason why some of us do, some of us don't have any sense of the presence of God. This alone should motivate us to an intense passion to obey. Think for a moment about the problems that are caused from disobedience. They're all through the scriptures. They're all through life. Disobedience brought about the fall of man. Have you eaten the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Disobedience is why Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and died without seeing the promised land. Disobedience is why Moses never got in with all the rest of them. God told him to strike the rock, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. He told him to strike it once or whatever, twice. I mean, there was a disobedience involved, and so God said, "Hey, you can't go in." And he had a higher standard. Disobedience is why Saul was rejected as king over Israel. Samuel said to him, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Disobedience is the reason God sent one prophet after the other to reprove his people, because they just kept going astray. Disobedience was the reason Christ had to die for us on the cross. Disobedience is the reason our children and this world are in such a mess. Hello? Disobedience is the reason why we're in such a mess. Disobedience is the reason the church is weak and feckless and ineffective. Disobedience is the reason why we live unfruitful and unfulfilled lives, even though we're believers. The gospel is something to be obeyed. The Bible is something to be obeyed. The Lord is someone to be obeyed. We need to come to the church. When we come to church, I mean, one of our goals in coming here and learning about the word is so that we can become more obedient, recognizing that we have challenges when it comes to obedience. Our very own nature wrestles with the issue of obedience. There's something in the flesh that doesn't want to do the will of God. There's the world in which we live, the experiences that we've had. We come to the church, though, to grow in our level of obedience. And we need to come to God in prayer and say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." This is one of the reasons I think the Lord gave us the Lord's Prayer. Something, it's kind of a ritual, but it's something you repeat every day. And you get to this part of, "Thy will be kingdom come, thy will be done," as opposed to, "My kingdom come, and my will be done." And so we're reciting that to ourselves. Obedience is the price tag for successful Christian living, and it's the doorway to the promised land. The Lord kind of makes it real simple in Hebrews chapter 4 here. Hebrews chapter 4, the people never got in because they never learned to obey, but today we have another chance. Here's the bargain God is making with you and I. The bargain is today, forget yesterday. This is important. Forget yesterday. I mean, yesterday, yeah, you failed it 10,000 times. Today, while it's still called today, okay, today is today and tomorrow will be today. Tomorrow. You get that? But today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And this is the bargain. I mean, this is what we have before us every day. Tomorrow morning we'll get up and God will say to us, today, if I speak to you now, forget yesterday. Because I spoke to you yesterday, you weren't even listening. You could care less. You said no. That's not a life sentence, because today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Say this with me. Lord, if I hear your voice today, I will obey. Lord, if I hear your voice today, I will obey. Did you really mean that? If you speak to me today, Lord, I will obey. Let's give this some thought, though. I have often said, everyone wants to hear the voice of God until they hear the voice of God. Ponder that. Everyone wants to hear the voice of God until God speaks. We humans have some subconscious fear. We fear that if we hear from God, he will tell us to do what we don't want to do. He will say, I want you to go over there and apologize. I know they have wronged you, but I want you to forgive them. He's going to say these kind of things to you in your life. And this is as old as time. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, and it runs through all of history. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. In the previous chapter, chapter 3 of Hebrews, it actually gives us a more detailed approach to this today thing. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. I mean, they knew that I was awesome. But when I spoke to them, they wouldn't do what I said. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, they were saved from Egypt. They were delivered. They were brought out. But they never got in. They never got in because they never were able to trust God, give up the lordship of their own lives, and trust him that the outcomes of whatever he said would be the best thing. This is the cry of every parent as they wrestle with their kids. I was trying to do them good. I was trying to give them the best. My instruction was for their own good, but they would not trust me. They refused to obey me. They went their own way, and now they have no peace. And this is the heart of God, the ultimate parent for you and I. That was then, and this is now. Today, if you hear his voice, today we have another opportunity. And if we'll say, God, speak to me. And I promise you, today if I hear your voice, I'm going to do what you say. And I mean, I may do it with fear and trembling. I may do it even, over my own objections, but I'm going to do what you say. And I know, and actually this is proven out to be true in all of our lives. When you finally get around to obeying God, it never is what you think it's going to be. The outcome of it is always amazing. Let me just give you another word on this. If you hear his voice, question yourself, do I really want to hear his voice? And I think this is an important question that all of us need to ask. Do I really want to hear his voice? Am I willing to hear his voice? Do I really believe that hearing his voice and doing his will is going to have the best outcome for my life. And we all give mental assent to that. Do I trust him enough to believe that what he might say will be the best thing for me? Am I willing to move past my subconscious fear that he will say something I don't want to hear? There's something that you and I can do to speed up the process. If you hear his voice. God has promised us over and over again in the scriptures this simple promise. The simple promise is, if you seek me, you will find me. The simple promise is, ask, and I'll speak. I mean, listen, and I'll hear. That's the simple promise. And if we actually begin to believe that, if you take initiative, set aside some time to listen, God has promised to speak. And in preparation for this wonderful event, you and I need to say, today, Lord, if I hear your voice, I will obey. Now, if we do that, it no longer becomes an if. Today, if God speaks to you, it becomes a when. Today, when God speaks to you. When meaning, okay, I understand. If I'll go in there and sit in the presence of God and ask him to speak to me, here am I, Lord, speak to me. He's going to speak to me. But I need to prepare myself for that because there are issues that need to be resolved for my sake, not for his sake, but for my sake. Jesus puts obedience in the most positive of terms. I mean, the promises that Jesus made for obedience are absolutely breathtaking. First of all, Jesus promises, and all these scriptures I'm about to give you begin with an if. If. Put up the next slide there. If. They all begin with if. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. I already quoted that one. We're promised the presence of God for our obedience. The next one is this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Those who have settled the issue of obedience, we're talking about answered prayer and fruitfulness in your life. And, I mean, a lot of us wonder, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why is there no fruitfulness in my life? And the answer to that is so simple. I mean, yesterday I heard his voice, and I ignored it. Yesterday I heard his voice, and I said no. Today, God, by God's grace, I'm going to say yes. And the result of that's going to be answered prayer and fruitfulness in my life. Here's another one, John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I love that. I mean, God promises love to those who are obedient. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be full. And so the promise of God to the obedience is this love and joy in the life of a believer. Today, if you hear his voice. Just before I surrendered my life to Jesus back in 1969, most of you know that I was in prison. And I was there because of some dumb deals I was doing with drugs back in the hippie days. But I was sitting in my prison cell. I was in a solitary cell at the time, and I heard the Lord speak to me a very clear word. And the word was, and I can remember this like yesterday, I am the Lord. What are you going to do about that? That's what I heard. And now that's important because at the time I was studying Eastern religion, and I was trying to find an alternative to Jesus because I hated Christians, and particularly ones in my family. And so I was trying to find an alternative, and this voice comes, and I hear it very plainly. I am the Lord. What am I going to do about that? And honestly, I had no idea what I was going to do about that, because the last thing I wanted to do was become a Jesus person. And so this word just hung inside of me for several weeks. I am the Lord. What are you going to do about that? And it was churning inside of me until finally, you know, some of you have heard the story before. I was on my way to lunch, and I turned into a solitary cell, And I just literally, without even thinking about it, fell on my knees and cried out to God and repented and received him as my Lord and Savior and just got the whole meal deal. I mean, there was this resistance to, I'm the Lord, what are you going to do about that? But finally, that word worked in me for several weeks, and finally, I just broke open on the inside. And I'm telling you this is because this is how it works. Today, if you hear his voice, there was hardness of heart. There was resistance. And there are times in your life when you will experience this. God has spoken to you, and he speaks to you again. He keeps knocking on the door. You keep saying, I'm not ready. Please, Lord, not now. I mean, whatever. There's this internal resistance until finally you have this breakthrough in your life. And it's a life-changing moment for you. And everything, you know, changes in your life. So many exhortations in Scripture say, incline your hearts to hear and obey. There are so many of those. I don't have time to give you all these references, but incline your heart. As opposed to inclining your heart to tune him out. And many of us need to actually repent of this, because when you think about it, you realize, you know what, I have inclined my heart to tune him out. I trusted him before, and look what it got me. We just have these ideas. And our hearts are inclined to tune him out. And so we can honestly say, when he says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say, we can say, what? I didn't hear nothing. Because our hearts are not inclined. We're not willing to do his will, and so we don't know his will. And these are issues that you and I need to face honestly this morning and come to terms with. And let's come back to this very last thing. Today, when you hear his voice, say yes. Now, I have to leave that with you and God, because, I mean, this is between you and him. Today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. And I believe that God's going to speak to you today, and he's going to speak to you tomorrow and the day after that. And you're going to say yes. Maybe there'll be some resistance, but you're going to say yes. And that yes will be a transforming moment in your life. I want us to pray as we close here, and we're just going to ask God to give us a passion to obey. And we need to know enough about his word to know why we need to obey. What an absolute imperative this is. This is something our kids hardly ever get. We make them obey, but they don't know why. Obedience is such an important thing in their lives. They don't know why. They don't get that. And maybe, you know, we hope someday there'll be an adult standing up before a crowd and saying, I'm so glad that my parents taught me to obey. Because that's now been transferred to my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can obey him in childlike trust. Let's pray. Father, we lift our eyes to heaven this morning. And Lord, as we heard this word this morning, we are all made of the same stuff. We are all, Lord, in the same boat. And Father, we looked in your word this morning, Lord, and we have seen the incredible benefit of obedience. We've known it in our heads, but God, we ask you, Lord, to move it to our hearts. Father, we ask you to take us from this place, Lord, with a new determination and passion to obey you. Today, if we hear your voice, Lord, we'll say yes. And know, Lord, that the outcome of that, Lord, will be what we've always ever dreamed of. And so, Father, today, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just pull down the walls of stubbornness and resistance that are in our hearts and minds, the walls of unbelief and the walls of doubt and fear. We pray, Father God, that we as your people, Lord, would step out this morning, Lord, and say yes to you. And so, Lord, we ask you to grace us to take this message beyond this building, into our homes, into our private lives, so that today when you speak to us, Lord, our hearts will be inclined to say yes. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the wonder and the beauty of your word. We receive it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.